Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 133 on May 19th, 2016. Changing the world one ass at a time. So a couple of news items. They're kind of like news items. Pegging was actually mentioned in Cosmopolitan Online. And the name of the article was Five More Sex Positions Perfect for Pegging Your Man. Well, the title implied that there were more, right? So I did research a little bit for Cosmopolitan, and I found that back in November 2014, I believe, they kind of put in a article up there that was sort of a considering the idea, if you will, of pegging, sort of like check this new thing out-ish sort of thing. And then in January of this year, they did like five perfect pegging positions, and now they're like five more. They're a little bit recycled. The article, although I'm thrilled to see more coverage of pegging, unfortunately mixed up the spelling and kind of went back and forth between prostate and prostrate, which was very humorous for me. But at the same time, it's feeling like it's getting to be more mainstream. So it was kind of exciting to find that. It was definitely very exciting to find it. And the funny thing was, while I was writing about this, I was making a comment on Facebook about it. My own personal computer, my PC, kept wanting to correct prostrate to the word prostate, like autocorrect. And it's kind of like, really? I know I write the word prostate a lot, but, you know, when I want to write prostrate, I really do want to write it. So that was interesting. So despite that search that I did trying to find out when Cosmo has mentioned pegging, a Redditor alerted me to this other article that came out really recently, May 13th, actually. And it was an interview. It was sort of an interview with three different guys, right? And they call them Man A, B, and C. And the name of the article, I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama, is called I'm a Straight Guy Who Loves Pegging. Oh yeah, we have to emphasize the straight thing over and over and over again. However, it's pretty cool because they ask these guys a bunch of questions. And let me scroll through the questions for you. How old are you? What's your current relationship status? How often do you have sex? How and when did you first get into pegging? What do you love the most about pegging? The first time you pegged, who suggested it, you or your partner? How did she react? What do you think is the best way to bring up the idea of pegging to new partners? What's the best response you've ever gotten when you asked a woman to peg you? What about the worst? How often do you incorporate pegging into your usual sexual play with your current partner, with past partners? Was there anything that surprised you initially about pegging or still surprises you now? Are there specific moves or positions you like the most or the least? What do you think the biggest misconception is about guys who love pegging? What advice would you give men who want to try pegging? And how about women? So these are all awesome questions, right? And it's really cool that they did this interview, and there's really not a lot of commentary on it. It's just the questions and the guys, which is awesome. So I'm going to put a link to that. That is definitely worth a read through. I'm not going to link to the first one that I mentioned because it's kind of cheesy. And then this last one I'm going to tell you about, I'm not going to link to it either because it's definitely cheesy. And I swear it was written like every stupid how to get your girlfriend to do anal sex manipulative bullshit article that I've ever read. And of course it made me sad because I always want to see good information about pegging, not just good information, but encouraging good relationship habits, you know? And basically, I mean, here's the tone of it. How to convince your boyfriend to agree to pegging. And the little subtitle thing underneath it, the how-to guide to getting that ass. Oh, for fuck's sake, people. And the thing is it's like this whole manipulative thing. It doesn't mention trust. It mentions don't go toy shopping and don't get a realistic one because he'll freak out. I mean, it assumes that he is 100% straight and has no bisexual thing. Sometimes there's straight guys who are not bisexual at all, and they really, really love the realistic dildos, you know? That's the thing. So I'm glad that pegging got a little bit more exposure, but I'm sad that they didn't mention trust and they just made it like an emotionally manipulative thing that you have to do to kind of trick your partner into it. And unfortunately, there was not an option to leave comments. Just like there wasn't an option to leave comments on the Cosmo one that kept screwing up prostrate and prostate. But I posted it up on Facebook and said, you know, do talk openly about it. Do go toy shopping together and do let him choose whether he wants a realistic dildo or not. And don't listen to this article. So, yeah, more exposure, not the best kind. And the funny thing is that both the interview where they interviewed the three guys in the Cosmo article and this one, they both use pictures, different ones, of the Broad City episode that included pegging. So, man, that episode's certainly getting a lot of mileage. Okay, let's get to your letters. This letter came in on my Pegging Paradise article about double-ended dildos. What is the absolute biggest for the receiver available at this point? Ideally, I'd prefer one with a vibrator, but if need be, without. Have and love the Happy Valley Fuse Tango, but have one bottom that is a complete size queen and needs something considerably larger. Does such a thing even exist? Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mention larger. Well, the word that you use is bigger. Biggest and bigger. Those are the things that you, the words that you used. So bigger is not necessarily the same as longer, and I'm not really sure what you want. I'm going to assume that you mean width as opposed to length. And the two biggest doubles are the Share XL. This is a Fun Factory toy, and it's 1 7/8 inches, and that diameter ends up being that width down towards the base of it. And it has an insertable length of 6 3/4 inches. But the winner, the prize, goes to the new double that I tried and I didn't like, but you might like it. It's the Injoyous, I-N-J-O-Y-U-S, because the Injoyous actually has a detachable situation where it's got two cocks that will attach to it, one smaller than the other. The big one is big. The big one actually is 1 3/4 inches, and then it goes to 2 inches pretty quickly towards the base. So both of those are 6 3/4 inch insertable. So that is the answer to what is the biggest double out there in terms of diameter. You're not going to get much longer than about 6 3/4 inches insertable. That's just what's out there for the doubles right now. So hopefully you did mean diameter as opposed to length. Okay, next letter. This was an email. I just read your piece on ethical non-monogamy and your journey. It's wonderful to know a bit more about your journey, your hooks, and who you are, as it brings more texture to your podcasts and stories. I've been an active listener for a few years now. I may have mentioned a few years back, after our first pegging celebration, that my wife had an affair that nearly brought an end to our marriage after 20 years. Your words of wisdom about monogamy in your email did not sink in at the time. It has been 2 years since I found out about the affair, which had ended long before I had found out about it. Since that time, I had been managing resentment, and only a month ago began looking into ethical non-monogamy to at first simply understand why I was feeling what I was feeling. Reading Sex at Dawn has helped me to understand the cultural conditioning of monogamy and the resulting resentment and jealousy. I've appreciated the thinking of ethical non-monogamy, which is basically an extension of open and honest communication, a foundation of your work around pegging. The timing of your article and my reading are purely coincidence, but I also wonder if it is a stage in life where we hit 50 and wisdom and practicalities become more prominent. I will read Tristan Taramino's book on open relationships next. For my wife and I, simply talking openly about our feelings of why we feel these feelings of attraction to others and being happy for each other rather than jealous is a first step to building more open communication on these challenging issues. Pegging is easy compared to ethical non-monogamy. Keep up your fantastic work. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, ethical non-monogamy. It's been such an interesting journey for me as well. I have mentioned a little bit about Chicago Man, and he is part of the reason that I wrote that piece about moving towards non-monogamy, and I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama for anybody who has not yet read that. It's on my blog. And I do find myself being challenged in my assumptions and my conditioning. That's a good word for it, is conditioning. Because this man in Chicago really doesn't have all that much time for me. And I knew that going in. He mentioned that from the very beginning. So I find myself with lots of shoulds, you know, what the relationship should look like, what our connection should be, the time he should have for me. But the really interesting awakening part for me was when I really looked at the situation that I have with this man, I realized that every single time I talk with him, and every single time I see him, I'm ecstatic. So is that a bad thing? Is it a bad thing when all of that good stuff is happening? You know, can I avoid letting the shoulds spoil that? Because that's what I'm trying to do right now. Just shove those shoulds aside and not shove them aside when it's something that's really important to me. But I mean, even the conversations that I have with this man where we're talking about things that are a little touchy, still, it's a marvelous thing. It's like every time I talk with him, I am just delighted when I hang up the phone. So yeah, there's so many ways to deal with this, but really the conditioning of society, I believe, does us all a disservice. And it's a time of change with relationships. Relationship rules are changing. I think the most challenging time is right at the edge of the change. And that's where we are. So yes, I totally agree with you. Pegging is easy compared to ethical non-monogamy. Of course, pegging was easy for me anyway. Thank you for writing in and sharing that story. I really appreciate it. And good luck with everything. This was another email I got. I made it my goal not to date a woman unless the cards were on the table and I put myself out in my ad in many forums, Plenty of Fish, Craigslist, and another, but I lost the password to that one. Anyway, I kind of found out I was into pegging through a roundabout way. I was bi curious in my younger years and really was not interested, but the whole liking the anal stimulation really threw me for a loop for a while. I found myself trying to get my anal fix with guys and then hating myself because I was grossed out by the whole guy thing. No offense, guys, it's just not my thing. After my last relationship, which lasted 10 years, I really, really wanted to receive anal sex somehow, but did not want some guy on top of me. Cut to the chase, I saw a porn video with pegging that blew my mind. It was a young couple. I think the video was hot girlfriend fucks equally hot boyfriend. And while their age I wasn't into, the idea and possibility sent my mind doing loops and backflips. I must have become a pegging maniac for a while. All I could watch was pegging porn and became kind of obsessed. Going back to the beginning of this, I decided that I wanted what I wanted, and selling myself short just wasn't going to work anymore. I found someone on Craigslist of all places, and we've been seeing each other almost a year, with her knowing about my desire to be pegged since before we started dating. We recently pegged for the second time, and it was awesome. Still haven't gotten the hands-free orgasm, but the butt contractions while having an orgasm are very intense. All this sounds too good to be true, and I'm hoping it's not. But I'm having a problem now that I can't seem to get her past. She is having fantasies about me with another man, and while we are having fun with our normal vanilla sex and pegging, now how can I get her to back off on the whole guy thing? She won't go to the website and does talk to her friends about it, even in front of the kids, so outed I am, but it still doesn't mean I'm having a guy. Any ideas? Help. One more thing. I realized that last email kind of ended on a sour note about confidentiality. It's still the case, but love and learn. I'm old enough to not really give a crap what others think. Or maybe I've been that way my whole life. I don't know. It's done. It's been kind of freeing, even if I don't care for the manner in which it was done. I'm really behind in your podcast being a new listener, but I used a slightly different technique to break her into it since she was unsure. She was intrigued when she saw my reaction to the finger during a blowjob, and the normal little spurt covered her breasts and gave her conditioner for her hair. But what really got her comfortable with trying was having her try a position called Amazon. I was on my back at the end of the bed, she stood at the end of the bed and bent my erection down to get it in, and basically switched roles even though the equipment didn't change. I'm multi-orgasmic, so I can come several times before losing my hard-on, and she took several from me, including the last one with her toy in, before she was spent. Women are like diesels, man. Take a second to warm them up. They might not go too fast, but man, can they last a long time. Anyway, the point was to try asking for a finger. or look up Amazon. Since you described yourself as kind of an Amazon in the podcast mid-60s, it brought back a very happy memory. Okay, have fun and thanks for being you. It makes it easier to be me knowing there are other people into it too. So, yeah, she's having fantasies about you with a guy. That is something that if you definitely don't want to go there, and it's pretty clear you definitely don't want to go there because you made that very clear in the beginning of your letter that you need to sit down and have a very serious talk with her. And if you need to, sit right there with her, take both hands in yours, look her right in the eye and say, this is really, really serious and I need you to hear me. Because it sounds like because she's excited about this whole thing that she's thinking if she pushes hard enough that she might be able to get you to do it. And you know what? I know guys that have ended relationships because women get to the point where they're so insistent that, oh yeah, now you're going to do it with a guy. And they're dominant women and they try and push their agenda onto the guy who is totally straight and has told them that from the beginning, and they walk away. So it's so important that she realize that this is a hard boundary of yours. The only way I can think of to get that across to her is just to get really, really serious about it. Because, you know, her outing you, I winced when you said in front of the kids, I am hoping when you said in front of the kids that these are kids who are older, over 18, over 21, and still kind of not cool. One of the things that's so important with the whole pegging thing is that she recognized that this is something that's really private and should not be shared without your consent. So that would be a message I would try and sit down and tell her as well. So I'm not sure how receptive she is to this kind of communication, but whatever way you usually use to have a very serious conversation with her about very important things, do that and have this conversation with her. Definitely make sure it's not in bed. Don't ever talk about this in bed. Do it when you're not in bed, when you have her attention undivided. You guys aren't going to be interrupted. And tell her how serious this is and how it's never going to happen, no matter what she says. And it's a hard limit of yours, a definite no-go, a big boundary, and it's not going to be something that you're ever going to do. That's the only advice I can give you because, that part is incompatible. You're never going to do it. She wants it. You need to tell her. Good luck and let us know how it goes. Here's a short one, an email. Hi, Miss Ruby. I wanted to let you know, as a man who loves butt play, squeezing or Kegel anal exercises take care of any hemorrhoid flare-ups that happen to me. I just do them for 15 or 20 minutes and I'm good to go. Just FYI. Love ya. So everybody out there who has hemorrhoid problem, this is something to try. And you know what? Kegel exercises, pelvic floor muscles are really good to exercise no matter which gender you are, but they're definitely good for men to exercise, period. I mean, there's a lot of benefits that you can get from doing Kegel exercises. So I was not aware that one of them could be calming down hemorrhoids, which is totally awesome. So thanks for writing in. So, you know, there's a couple of really cool things that can help you exercise your pelvic floor muscles. Sometimes people incorrectly call them Kegel muscles. Kegel is actually the name of the exercise, and it's been shown over and over again that not only is it good for women, because that's where it's most often associated or heard about or talked about, but that exercising your pelvic floor muscles is really good for men too. And there's a couple of way cool products that assist you with this that are pretty amazing. The first one is called Private Gym, and it's for men, and it actually works with weights. It's the trippiest thing. It's like your dick is lifting weights, which is just the coolest idea for me. It makes me chuckle, but, you know, you read the benefits, and that's a whole lot more than just a chuckle. That's a whoa, that's pretty cool. So it says, in less than 10 minutes a day, 3 days a week, the Private Gym's Kegel training program can create harder erections, prevents premature ejaculation, produces more powerful orgasms, enables greater ejaculatory force, alleviates incontinence, and improves prostate health. And it comes with like a DVD thing and a whole thing on how to use it. So it's pretty cool. So that's for the men. So for women, Kegel exercises do all kinds of cool things. Initially, they were invented to deal with incontinence after women go through childbirth, or just any women who are experiencing urinary incontinence. So the name for the muscle that you're actually exercising is the PC muscle, and it's a muscle group that forms like the orgasmic platform, right? So, you know, just like everywhere else in your body, if you don't exercise something, it's not going to be at its best. It's not going to be performing optimally. So when you do Kegel exercises as a woman, not only does it help if you are experiencing urinary incontinence, but it can actually make your vagina become a lot more sensitive during intercourse. It can help you have orgasms more frequently, more easily, and more intensely. And you know, there's other stuff that it helps too. I mean, it gets really involved because this is a whole area of your body that just really needs strengthening and exercise on a regular basis to stay healthy. Women talk about if they do Kegels that they have better lubrication because there's more circulation in the area from doing the exercises. Women who are struggling with organ or bladder prolapse experience relief from those symptoms. It can really help with that. And along with urinary incontinence is sometimes fecal incontinence. Exercise it. It'll be healthier. It'll feel better. You can be more orgasmic. You can prevent issues that are common amongst women after childbirth and in older years. So the way cool thing we have for that, just like the guys have their private gym thing, women have a thing called a Mina Kegel. And Mina is the brand name. And then they play off of the Kegel, K-E-G-E-L, which is the name of the exercise. And they've named the product K-G-O-A-L because you do have a goal when you use it, right? This is a pretty damn cool thing because it's an app-driven thing. So it's actually a trainer designed to fit all kinds of different bodies. It's adjustable. It gives you feedback. It reminds you of when to exercise. And also, studies have shown that like 30% of women can't contract their pelvic floor muscles correctly without direct feedback. So this will give you the direct feedback and track your performance, all kinds of different things. So I'm going to put the links to those in the Linkorama. So I got started off on Kegels when all we were talking about was Kegel exercises can help hemorrhoids. Well, guess what? Kegel exercises can help all kinds of things in men and women. So check out that stuff if it interests you and have fun with it. Oh, and if you do get these and try them out, write in and let us know how it goes. Absolutely. Okay, let's move on. This is a letter that I received as an email, and it's a post that this guy put up on a different forum that he thought I might be interested in. And he said that it was early in his interest in pegging and that he thought it might be good for our listeners. Okay. In an earlier post, quote, rubbing the walnut, end quote, there were many conversations regarding the mind-blowing prostate orgasms guys were experiencing. I, too, have delighted in rolling super O's, which is an Anaros term, that go on for 10 or 20 minutes at a time and then can be restarted with virtually no recovery time. Now, some of the conversations express the frustration of getting first to the basic prostate orgasm. My answer to that challenge is first you have to wake up the prostate. I used a latex-covered glove, nicely lubed up, in search of my prostate with no reaction. I then purchased an Anaros Helix to see if that would work. I read up all I could on the proper technique to experience a prostate orgasm and carefully applied these methods with no success. I even went so far as to purchase the Anaros Progasm, which is their largest stimulator, thinking the larger size would do the trick. The real issue challenging me was to wake up my prostate. My experience was, yes, I had made contact with it by using the lube-covered glove, and the Helix and Progasm did what they were designed to do. The issue was, until it was properly stroked and I knew what to feel for, I wasn't making progress. One afternoon, I fell asleep with the Helix in my ass and was woken up by a fluttering deep inside me. The flutter caused me to shiver a bit. What I was experiencing was my prostate being awoken. Once it was awoken, my Helix and my Progasm caused prostate orgasms within moments of insertion. I now have become so proficient that most well-designed toys do the trick. To extend these wonderful opportunities, I have gone so far as to wear an Aneros Helix Sin and UFO Sin with a thong, which keeps the tab squarely in position for as long as I like. Hope you find my experience helpful. You know, when I was perusing the Aneros forum, I did encounter this story a couple of times about men who put the Aneros device in and fell asleep with it in. So that's something to try for you guys who are kind of playing around with your prostate and going, okay, this is okay, but, you know, there's not a lot happening here. Because I have heard this story several times, so it might be something to try to kind of wake up your prostate. Thank you for the writing that in. I really appreciate it. And guys, I'm going to put the link to the Aneros on the Linkorama. Of course, you will find it there. Okay, let's see here. An email, a short one. Any recommendations for specific harnesses that would work well with the Share Vibe by Fun Factory? You know, just about any harness that will accommodate up to a 2-inch diameter toy should be fine with that toy. It is not an unusually large toy. It's pretty normal in where a double is concerned. So I would think the spare parts shock would be fine. Also the Aslan Leather Jaguar or Minx would be fine. Both of those would be fine. So yeah, what you need to look for is just that the O-ring will accommodate up to 2 inches, and both of those will. It's a little bit of a tight fit on the spare parts jock, but it totally works. Okay, here is another one. This came in as an email. I stumbled across your beautiful, unique, inspiring, ass-kicking website yesterday. Thank you for existing. A little about me. I'm a female, late 40s, and in a relationship where I dominate and peg the absolute love of my life, among other things. I met him after ending my unhappy marriage to a complete submissive who refused to acknowledge it. For 20 years, my ex served me vigorously. He was solely interested in making my life one of complete comfort, but gave me almost no sex. Maybe 15 times in 19 years together. To his very Catholic mind, he felt my need to declare dominance out loud and to want that dynamic in the bedroom was a sickness in me. Truth be told, I would have been happy with even vanilla sex. I left the marriage and met this other man in the most innocent of circumstances. A decade older, a successful business owner, a linear thinker, a bit dorky and brilliant. He was, quite literally, my dream man. It was love at first sight. I know, sappy, and so not the typical me. We had none at all, knowledge. We both liked the desire of dominant and submissive. We simply began an ordinary but intense love affair. We waited several months before we were physical. There was always a mind-blowing attraction. A slip of my finger the very first time we were intimate, and a day later, he offered me ownership in a confessional letter, begging me to start this journey, only if it wasn't a phase or a novelty to me, because it meant everything to him, his ultimate way of life. I was floored and a bit frightened that he was asking this part of me to come alive, but we forged ahead. Being reared a fundamental Christian stayed with me more than I thought, and although I've sought control, ownership, and the dominance of a man my whole life, I felt there was something very wrong with me. I was sure it was an illness or a defect. I was frightened of myself and would never fully indulge in my true dominant nature or what turned me on physically and emotionally. My sweet man has given me the gift of being open and not seeing my ways as dark, but simply the way I connect and love. He needs it and obeys without question, looking at me with trust and love. I look in his eyes during this time and my knees go weak. I own him, and yet my heart is completely his. For the first time in my life, I am so joyed with a relationship. Yes, it's been beautiful ever since. The thing is, what I do in my head is just that, only from my own head. I have no outside influences, no porn, no reading, no kink scene, no erotica. It's just how my mind works, honestly. I knew I wanted to fuck him, so I simply ordered a dildo online, afraid that somehow people would know and hoping it would work. The harness? I didn't even know I needed one until the dildo arrived, and I was like, damn, what do I do now? Like many women, my love and sex manifests naturally. It's so interesting that what you describe in Running the Fuck. Sweet mother of pearl, yes. In the last few months, I've been reading, watching, learning. Who knew that how I like to take my skinny silk scarf and tie his parts up in a nice bow that he must wear out is something similar to what other women do? I truly didn't know that controlling his release was also de rigueur for most. So here I am. I need this website. I need to read more, learn more. It's time for me to seek inspiration and knowledge outside myself. What I've learned has been the hard way, trial and error. Thank you for your work. I can't tell you from the bottom of my heart how much reading it meant to me the other day. Oh, wow. What a letter. Thank you so much for writing in. First of all, it's always incredibly wonderful to hear from the women, but also a woman who is embracing her dominance for the first time. You know, I've said it over and over, and I'll keep saying it. Whatever your kinks are, people, as long as they're consensual and they don't hurt other people, they really are okay. Many times, female dominance will go along with pegging, and it's such an interesting story to hear how you just came up all upon this naturally and decided you wanted to do things. But I'm very familiar with, okay, you embrace it and you decide you want to do things, but there's still that nagging little part inside you that is like, okay, I'm doing this, but it's still kind of weird, it's still kind of dark, and it's strange and different, and not fully accepting that part of yourself. And that's where it's such a gift to have a partner who will come to you and meet you in that space and say, this is what I have been looking for. This is totally what I have been dreaming of. And embrace that part of you as such a treat, such a blessing, such a perfect match. So I'm really, really happy for you. It's such a delightful story to hear. Thank you so much for sharing it. And for our listeners, I wrote an article about what I like about pegging, the things that I like about it. And I did use that phrase, running the fuck. And so this is what this listener is referring to. I'm going to put a link to that in the Linkorama. Thanks for writing in and keep on pegging. Okay, another email. Hi, Ruby. I'm very excited to have stumbled across your website. I can't wait to become part of your following. I've always enjoyed anal stimulation from the women partners I've been with. One of my all-time favorites has always been my partner licking, sucking, and fucking me with their tongue and fingers, too. My last relationship, which ended about 3 years ago, was the first time I experimented with pegging, and I've only actually had it happen once, and it was amazing. I was lucky at the time to have a partner that was very open to just about anything and made me feel very comfortable with my enjoyment of being pegged and enjoying ass play in general. What is very frustrating, though, is ever since the first time, I can't stop my desires to experience this again and again. I want it really bad, but I'm not in a relationship of any kind and don't have any friends with benefits situations presently. I'm a divorced 48-year-old white male, and besides fantasizing, reading erotica about pegging, and now looking forward to hearing some of your podcasts about pegging stories, I don't have any real prospects of experiencing this wonderful, fulfilling act anytime soon. The other issue I think about, too, is that, say I do start a new relationship in the future, I don't think sharing the desire to have my partner peg me is something to bring up and discuss in a new relationship until there is a comfortable level of intimacy with a new relationship and finding out how adventurous my partner is overall. So with this being said, would you recommend as a possible avenue to have my desires fulfilled in the more immediate future, assuming I don't necessarily meet anyone interested in a possible relationship? Is there any specific places where two like-minded individuals really looking to act out their desires for pegging can meet or get to know each other online? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. One other question. I hope I don't sound ignorant, but can you please tell me how to sign up on your website? When I click on the login page, it doesn't show any info for people looking to set up an initial sign-in profile anywhere. I'm from the Chicago area. If you're ever looking for volunteers to be your sub for a weekend or whatever the occasion, where can I sign up? Looking forward to reading and listening to many of the experiences of your followers, and particularly reading your many encounters. I look forward to how hard my cock will become when I imagine I'm the lucky guy on the receiving end of your strap-on. I'm looking forward to learning more about you, Ruby. Regards. Okay, first, sir, I am going to read you my cut and paste that I usually send to people whose emails go into this particular territory. Here you go. I realize this is playful, but if you know how often I get sexualized because I talk freely about sex and my kinks, you might not have written that. It's a common problem for sex educators. Here are my boundaries. I will listen to stories about your sexual experiences. I will answer specific questions you have about BDSM or pegging. I will even give you advice on how to talk to your partner about BDSM and pegging. But the moment you start talking about me fucking or spanking you, it pisses me off, because that is sexualizing me, and we do not even know each other. Hashtag mind your manners. Hashtag think with your big head. So yes, I did have to send that. I don't really care if you fantasize about me, but I don't want to hear the blow-by-blow of you including me in your fantasies, because I don't know you. It's bad manners to jump right into saying, wow, I'd really like you to fuck me. It just feels bad, okay? So there you have it. Now, let's move on to the other parts of your email, because you got a lot here, and I really want to respond to this. So yes, you are totally craving it. This is not unusual. Guys who love pegging absolutely want to experience it a lot. And this can even be a problem sometimes within relationships. And it's certainly more difficult when you don't have one. First, let me respond to your assertion that you probably don't want to bring it up in a new relationship until you've been with them for a while. I really disagree with that. You sound like you want it bad. You said that you want it bad. Well, if you want it bad, why would you not present in that manner? Why would you not lay your kink cards right on the table as soon as you meet a woman? Because you know what? The worst that can happen is that she might say, that's fucked up, I'm never doing that, and she walks away. What is the alternative? Let's say you play that scenario your way, right? So you get to know her, you guys go out for a while, you guys go out to dinner, you date, you start having some vanilla sex, which is really fun, and you're having a really good time, and then you mention it to her, and she says, that's fucked up, and she walks away. Do you not see how this is a big waste of time? And I know it's a scary thing and a vulnerable thing to like lay your kink card right on the table. However, when you do that, you're being totally honest and upfront with your partner. I mean, another scenario is that you can wait a few months after you've had the vanilla sex and you can tell her and she'll say, what? Why the hell didn't you tell me in the beginning? I feel slightly betrayed because this is an important kink, right? So that's kind of how I think about it. That doesn't mean you have to tell her like first date. I certainly do that. I spoke about this in a recent podcast. I do that because my whole world revolves around pegging, right? I'm a sex educator. I talk about it all the time. I blog about it. I podcast about it. You get it. There is no part of my life that I can really talk a lot about and have it not include some kind of kinky sexual subject. So I put it out there. I lead with it because I need a guy who knows all these things about me and is okay with it. You have a very strong desire to be fucked, okay? And I think that it's important to lay those kink cards on the table really soon. Otherwise, you get really invested. You might really like her. You guys might get along so well in other ways. But if she is someone who will never peg you, you need to know that really soon. So keep that in mind. Now, what I'm going to do is in the Linkorama, which you will find by going to my blog, there is a list of all the subjects that I talk about, all these letters that you wonderful people have written me in, and then underneath that it says Linkorama. And every time I talk about putting a link for you guys, that's where you find it, for all of you new listeners. So, in the Linkorama, I'm going to put a link to a new section on my website. Since I've redone the website, there's a drop down that says newbies and it says men and women. So if you click the one that says men, what you're going to get is some newbie articles like frequently asked questions and new to pegging. But then there's a whole section there about being a guy and looking for a woman to peg you. There's like seven different things. There's a couple of interviews with a guy who went to a pro. There's a guy who wrote an article. There's a guy who has a tried and true method of slowly getting his girlfriends into kink. There's a bunch of different stuff. None of them are guaranteed to work, but they're all worth looking at. And there's also not just a bunch of stories of people who've had it successful. There's also some articles I've written about things that really don't work. And also ways that you have to be careful in approaching women. To answer your question, no, there really isn't a place that I know of where there's just people who want to peg and you can do like Tinder and match up, right? I don't know of any place like that. And there's a lot of reasons why there isn't a place like that. It's a very intimate thing. And it's normally something that women are more comfortable doing with a man that they have a relationship with and they trust. Part of the reason this is the case is because it's a switching of roles, okay? So when women strap on that cock and fuck somebody, it can be really difficult. It can feel really awkward. It can feel really silly. All of these feelings, being awkward, feeling strange and new and silly, are best done with someone you know and can trust to care for you, care about you, you have relationship with, you have intimacy with them. Meanwhile, the only thing that I can suggest is to get yourself a really nice toy that has a suction cup and have a ball in the shower. That is what I would recommend. Or if you don't want to do it in the shower and you really like laying down, there's so many great toys out there. I'm just going to put a couple of links to toys. One is those lovely dual density toys with the suction cups that are awesome for shower play. And the other is prostate massagers that have vibrations and remote, you know, and cool stuff like that. There's a bunch of different things you can do toy-wise. So I suggest really enjoying that part of you yourself, because there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Satisfy yourself now that you're in a position where you don't have a partner. And you know what? When you get that partner, when you find that woman, because you will eventually, who really is interested in pegging you, you will know exactly what to tell her about what you like. So yeah, self-play. Absolutely. Go down that road and have a good time with it. So that's pretty much all I have for you. Thank you so much for writing in. Good luck with your search and get yourself a toy, dude. Have some fun. And here's another email. Kind of a sad one. My wife and I, unfortunately, will be divorcing. We both enjoyed pegging, but that part is over. I guess this piece of my lifestyle has to stop. I guess I don't really want to have this part of my sexual experience to take a hiatus. I'm also not sure it's something that I want to bring up with anyone for quite some time out of concern for trust levels. Is there a better way to meet women that are into pegging without having to wait years to be able to do it again? Flying solo. Oh, sir. Flying solo. So this is really similar to the last letter that I read. The advice that I would give you is that I know it feels really vulnerable and really scary to jump right out there and talk about how you really enjoy pegging, okay? But that is the best way to find a woman who's into it. And really, when you first meet women, if you throw those kink cards on the table, you're not risking a whole lot. You haven't established an intimate relationship with them. You haven't started to care for them a lot. So that is your best sorting device, is to be totally upfront with it. And what is the worst that can happen? Okay, the worst that can happen, I suppose, would be that this woman that you are dating or had a first date with runs off and tells other people that you like pegging. That would not be a cool thing. So that, I suppose, has to be taken into consideration. But do you see how it's not a good idea to have this hide it dynamic? And then all of a sudden in your relationship, you go, oh, by the way, I really like this. That is actually really hiding something very important. And that very important factor is because if they don't like it, ooh, then you're screwed if you've got this lovely relationship with this woman. So I really suggest that you put it out there. Now, the only way that I could see that that could be bad that she tells everybody is if it's someone in your social circle. So if you are looking for women outside of your social circle, like a lot of people are checking online, that's pretty good way to find people. It's not easy, but it does at least expose you to a much bigger group of people than just in your social circle. So if you're doing that, then there's really no harm, no foul, because you don't know this woman from Adam, right? And she doesn't know you either. So you meet, you talk about stuff, and you put your kink cards on the table and say, so this is something that I really need in the sexual part of my relationship. Is this something you would be up for? Don't present it like you have your leukemia. You know, you can even present it as something really exciting. Hey, there's something really cool that I like to do sexually. Now, you know, no, we're not there yet, but I just want to find out if this is something you might be interested in, if and when we ever get there. And of course, you wouldn't say this unless you've been, it's going good, you know, the conversation's going good, the chemistry's going good. You have checked in with her and said, so I'm feeling pretty good about this. This is nice. How are you feeling? You know, do you think that you'd like to see me again? Or what do you think? Because, you know, if you don't, then no harm, no foul. You know, we're done. It's been a pleasure meeting you. Thanks for coming out. That's how I like to handle dates. That's how I like to do the first meeting, because so often there's just such a lack of honesty. It's like, yeah, yeah, I'll call you. And, you know, the chemistry wasn't right and the energy's not right. And you know the fucking guy's never going to call. So what the hell, right? There's not a whole lot to risk. And sometimes it can be uncomfortable if one person really would like to continue it and feels the chemistry and wants the other person, and then the other person doesn't. But that's really still honesty. Please, people, honesty. So yeah, meet them, talk with them, check in, say, how are you feeling about this? Would you like to go out with me again? Because I'm really enjoying you. And if they say yes, say, well, you know what? There's this thing. And I know we're nowhere near this yet, but this is something I really enjoy. And I'm wondering if you would consider being up for it. Because, you know, we may not get there for a really long time, but this is an important part of my sexuality. So I'm not sure if any of those words appeal. I'm not sure if you can get them to come out of your mouth. But they're also, you can put that on your profile, depending on where you have a dating profile. Again, just like the guy in the last letter, go to the Linkorama and click on that link and read those articles all about how do I find a woman to peg me. You know, it's approaching it from a whole bunch of different directions. Check that out and see if you can't find something in there that would help you out. And same advice, get a toy. Have some fun with yourself. Feel good about it. Feel okay about it. Love your ass. Have a good time. And good luck with your search, sir. Let us know when you find the one.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
Okay, that's it for this podcast. I want to talk a little bit about the Patreon thing. Patreon thing is happening. I'm also going to put a link to that in my Linkorama. I have 4 donors. Thank you all so much for contributing towards keeping Pagan Paradise alive and thriving. And for all of you out there who don't know what Patreon is, the link will be there. It is a way to support what I do so that I can do more of it more often. That's the short story. And my patrons over at Patreon get this podcast a day early. So that's something to look forward to. And they also get other posts that don't appear on my blog or even get talked about in my podcast. So if you'd like to support my work, head on over to Patreon, check it out, look at the rewards, and sign up. And so I know that there's people who keep telling me that they can't register on my website, and I swear to God I'm going to do something about that. I'm so sorry that there's no clear button that says register, right? Because you want to participate in the forums, you want to make comments and stuff. Normally, the way that people end up registering is they try and make a comment on an article, and then it says you need to be registered, and then it clicks over into allowing you to register. But there is no button there that allows you to register right off the bat. And certainly if you're trying to register for the forum, that is a little confusing. So I promise I'll get that fixed. I don't know if I will get it fixed before DomCon, because I am headed down to DomCon this weekend in Los Angeles. It is held at the LAX Hilton. It is an event where professional DOMs and lifestyle DOMs all come together and mix. And there are lots of other fetishists, if you will. There's pony play and cross-dressing and sissy maids and you name it. So it's a pretty wild event, and I really have to give kudos to the LAX Hilton for hosting it, because the other guests who were there during the time of this convention definitely get an eyeful. I mean, there's certainly rules that govern what you can wear and what you can't in the public areas, but still, that doesn't mean people aren't walking around in latex and cross-dressed and all kinds of fun stuff. So that's happening this weekend. That's where I'm going to be. And it's kind of a big deal. I'm going to be handing out cars like crazy. I'm going to teach a couple of classes on Sunday. Looking forward to that. And these classes, unlike my regular classes, are going to have the whole dominant submissive tilt to them, which is going to be a real fun thing for me to include that in the classes. So if you're down there, come and find me. Ask for a hug, because, you know, anybody who finds me out and about at these public events got a hug coming if you can find me and say, "Aren't you Ruby Ryder?" You know, I have face pictures up all over the place, so it shouldn't be too difficult to recognize me, although I may be dressed a little bit more wildly at DomCon, because that's an event that begs for dressing up. So, okay, there are links in my blog for you to follow me on Twitter at Ruby_Ryder. On Facebook, I have a page and a profile. There's a link to follow my blog posts also there. And I am working on a page of a bunch of different podcast options for Android phone owners, because clearly I have the iTunes, but I'm trying to get a little list. And I mentioned the last podcast, if there's one that's a favorite that you use, I'd love it if you just shoot me whichever one it is. I'm going to do some of the ones that I think of as the major ones, but if you've got one you really particularly like, please let me know, because I'll include that. Or if you have one that you use that is a podcast downloader app for your Android phone and it does not have Pegging Paradise podcast in it, let me know, because it's a pretty simple thing to get it included in there. Okie dokie. Let's see here. So when you check out those products that I post links to when I talk about sex toys and stuff, remember that purchasing through enticeme.com not only guarantees that you're going to have the highest quality, body-safe, non-toxic pleasure products, you're also going to support my work here at Pegging Paradise. And if you use a coupon code RUBY, you'll get 20% off. You can call me at 805-500-6544. With questions, comments, stories, adventures, successes, fears, wonderings, or you can write all that stuff down. Send it to me, ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you all very much for downloading and listening. You're the best. Happy pegging.